Hey guys, welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity. Kids, I envy you. I so envy you because, truth be told, your options have never been better with Dr. Brown's Options Plus wide neck bottles. From nipple to base, it eases the transition from breast to bottle and back again. Each nipple is specifically engineered to offer the same consistent natural flow so that you and your twins know what to expect at every feeding. The new breast-like nipple shape is correctly contoured for a proper latch and a more natural bottle feeding experience. So together with the anti-colic internal vent system, your twins will feed with minimal fuss. And when your babies are no longer gassy, remove the venting system and continue to use the Options Plus bottle without the extra parts. Brilliant! It really is brilliant. You guys are so lucky. So for more information on the Dr. Brown's Options Plus bottle, visit drbrownsbaby.com. Oh, Meredith, another day, another amazing story. I'm still, as I was telling you before we started recording, I'm like, I'm always amazed that, you know, people listen to this podcast is my first thing. And secondly, about the like unbelievable resiliency of our community. And for those of you who are just listening, I always talk to everybody before I press record. And that's literally because it's just weird to just say, hi, I'm pressing record now. And I said to Meredith this, I know something about Meredith. And I said, you know, I think somebody I know could use your help specifically. And now, like, honestly, I'll say everybody is my friend, but I know Meredith, what, for 18 minutes is what we're looking at. That's how long we go back. But I do know that there's one thing that is our in common with everybody that belongs to Twiniversity. I would say it's universally twin parent. I would say it's universally parent. I'd like to say it's universally parent, and I'd like to say it's universally woman, but it's not always. But I know that we have a lot to learn from each other, and we're always here to support each other. And today is no different, because I want to kind of do a deep dive on how the heck you just rolled with everything. Like, honestly, Meredith, you got thrown a little bit more poop at your fan than the typical person. And for you to like come out smiling and say, I want to talk about it. And, you know, we're going to get through this and we're going to figure it out. And what you just said about your husband before, which I want to definitely talk about more. I think it's extraordinary. So give us a little bit of, you know, who you are and how we got here and, you know, how the heck you just keep rolling with it.
Yeah. So actually, the beginning of my pregnancy was interesting too. And I guess that kind of almost prepped me for the path, I guess. I didn't find out we were having twins until I was 20 weeks. So at 7 weeks, I remember having like terrible, terrible cramping, pain. This is really bad. So I called my doctor up and he's like, how long have you been having this? You know, like, for like a good couple hours, you know, like just powering through. And he was like, I think you need to go to the hospital. And of course, you know, it was weekend. And I was like, no, I'm fine. And he's like, I think at that moment I was like, oh God. And then he was like, go to the hospital. You need to go to the hospital. And I was like, all right, well, what could it be? And he's like, it kind of sounds like an ectopic pregnancy. And I was like, no, I'm not going then. Like, you know, I was just like in completely in denial. And he was just like, you have to go. So I literally called my husband and I'm like, can you meet me at the hospital? And he's like, what? I'm like, I'm having pain, like not good. He tells me like, you know, the doctor tells me I could have an ectopic pregnancy. Like, and he's just like, okay, yeah, sure. And he had my son with him at the time. And so, you know, I get to the hospital and I was like, you know, a terrible patient. I actually feel really bad about it now, but I also was like in the zone where I was like, all right, I just want an ultrasound. Like, I just go in, they're like, okay, well, first we need to do blood tests, and then you need to take a urine sample to make sure you are pregnant. I was like, I already know I'm pregnant. I've already gone to the doctor. Like, I know I'm pregnant, you know? And I was like, I'm not doing that, but fine, I'll do it. And then, you know, do that. And then they're like, okay, now we're going to lay you down. You're going to do the blood work. I'm like, no, no, no. What is that going to tell? And they're like, well, and they couldn't even literally tell me. And I was like, nope,
I was like, it's such standard procedure.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like, nope, I just want to see the baby. I want to make sure everything's okay. I want to see the heartbeat, et cetera. And they're like, all right, fine. So they reason with me. They're like, but if when you come back, will you do the blood work? I'm like, yes. I'm like, okay. And, you know, so they take me back and do the ultrasound and come back. And I wait for like half an hour for the doctor to come back. And she literally just comes up next to me. She goes, you know, the heartbeat looks great. Everything looks really good. She's like, you just need to go home and rest. And I was like, okay. And I was like, at this time, they hadn't even given me like Tylenol, Motrin, like anything. And I was like, I'm still in pain though. Like, and they're like, just follow up with your doctor on Monday. I'm like, okay, great. So like the pain did start to subside like later on the day. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll, you know, take her up on her little resting. And so I did rest for the day and I go to the doctor's on Monday and he's like, look, you already had an ultrasound at the hospital. If you do another ultrasound, your insurance will probably not cover it before the 20-week anatomy scan. And I was like, he's like, unless you want to do the genetic testing. And I was like, no, I'm not doing the genetic testing. Like, and he's like, are you sure? I'm like, no. And he's like, okay, well, if you don't do that, you don't get an ultrasound. And I was like, how much do ultrasounds cost? It's like a couple $1,000s. I was like, okay, nope, we're going to wait. So, so sure enough, you know, like we go at 20 weeks and we're like all excited to find out the gender. And, you know, we already have my son. So I was like kind of hoping for a girl, you know. I was like, but I'm probably not going to get a girl. Like, that's too perfect, you know. And my husband's like, I already know it's a girl. It's going to be a girl. And I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. And so we go in, you know, they put the thing on my belly and they have a screen above me and all I see is these two round objects.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, and they take the thing right off. And I'm like, and she's like, the technician, she's like, did you have an ultrasound yet? I'm like, yes, yes. I was like, at 7 weeks though. And she's like, and I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she's like, nothing's wrong. I need to go get the doctor. And I was like, is it twins? And she's like, yes.
Oh,
and I literally like popped up and all I said was like, I was like, no, 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 no. My husband literally leapt out of his chair. He's like, yes, yes, this is so awesome. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, no, this is not. I was like, no, this is terrifying. And you know, like I immediately think of like, how are we going to pay for this? How am I going to do this? What is this going to impact on my son? Like, how am I going to carry twins? What is this going to look like? Oh my gosh. Like, am I going to be able to breastfeed twins? Is that even normal? Like, what is going on? And so, you know, sure enough, they finish the ultrasound once I calm down because they literally left the room. They're like, we'll give you a few minutes because I was like in full freak out mode. And so eventually they bring the doctor in, the tech, and they're looking. And I was like, are you going to be able to tell, like, if it's like what the, you know, genders are today? And she's like, yeah, we should be able to. And we should be able to, like, you know, see what kind of twins they are. And I was like, okay. I was like, I don't know what that means, but okay. You know, like all new twin world stuff. And so sure enough, you know, they find baby A and they're like, it's a girl. And we're like, oh my gosh, freaking out. Cause we're like, at that point, we're like, okay, we have our girl. Like, yeah, we're good, you know?
Oh my gosh.
And then sure enough, they go over the other one. And they're like, baby B is also a girl. And we're like, freaking out again. And my husband's just like, two girls? Like, this is amazing. Like,
aww.
He's about to cry. Like, he's just so excited and so am I. And we're just like, you know, in disbelief. And so then that's when they tell us, you know, they're monodye twins and they like, you know, sort of share a placenta, but there's like a separation for them to kind of have like their own little part of the placenta. And like that's kind of how they explained it to us. And, obviously every monodye is, you know, identical, et cetera. And everybody knows the spiel, but, So that's when they were like, well, now you're really behind because you should have been getting ultrasounds.
Yeah.
Like, That's every odd, 2 weeks.
It stresses me out when I hear that, like, so much,
right?
Like, I'm doing my nervous, rubbing my forehead, because it's when it comes to twins, like, the sooner we know, the more proactive we can be, and we could, you know, there is more monitoring. But truthfully, there is something to be said for having it thrown at you at the last minute.
I know. And honestly, we were going through a move. We had, like, we were doing renovations on our house. My husband was, we were staying with my father-in-law at the time. And, like, he was going every night, like, to work on the house while my son and I were at my father-in-law's. And, like, I was so sick, like, terribly sick. And I was sick with my son, but this was, like, next level. And I couldn't understand. Yeah. But I also was like, I think this is stress. Like, you know, we're doing the house stuff. We just bought a house, you know. And I'm pregnant and all, et cetera. And so I was like, I think it's just stress, you know, but, yeah, just crazy.
It's so funny because you were kind of, you know, already managing everything. And I can't even imagine, you know, I always think back to, like, you know, the '60s and even the '70s that some people just didn't know until delivery day.
Yeah,
that there were twins and people were like, yeah, I don't want an ultrasound. There's no need for that. So let's just keep going. And then, you know, you're not quite finished after that first baby is born. And you're like, what's going on now? It's funny because as twin parents, I think we have to kind of start literally rolling with it from the jump, because you have to there comes a point when you realize that there's nothing that you could technically do. Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, after the doctor was like, okay, it's two, and you saw that they had their placenta. I mean, truthfully, like, for me, if you, like, came to Twiniversity class, like, my ears would already perk up and I'd be like, okay, we're in a higher risk situation. We have to worry about these things. But there isn't really much that we could do about it. And how, like, when do you think that you just started realizing, like, okay, we're going to focus on the positive? We're going to worry, you know, we're going to worry about the things that are in our control and not. Do you think that it has to do with that you have an older child and you were like, okay, I kind of know this rodeo a little bit? Is that a personality thing? Like, how do we start to, I guess, accept what's happening and move forward with it in a positive way instead of going into, you know, the black hole of anxiety and stress?
Yeah. I think we're all still trying to figure out the anxiety thing as we go along. There's definitely ups and downs, and that's kind of how it was for me. But yeah, like, I mean, already having one, it definitely put me at an advantage because I was like, because I also talked to twin parents that, you know, that was their first rodeo. And I was like, that to me actually seems like a lot because I figure, I mean, we're all still figuring out motherhood, obviously, but like, I did figure out a lot of the basic stuff with my son. Like, he was my guinea pig. We all like laugh about how, you know, your first is, and that's, and if your first are twins, those are your guinea pigs. So you're doing two at a time. It's a lot. We all know this. So, no, but that definitely helped, but also just, it was, I did really try to find the positives, and there was a huge positive. I mean, like, the blessing of twins, I just totally was, you know, like, I also thought about it too, in a way that's like, why me? Like, why was I chosen for this? And that kind of like put things in perspective of like, and then I kind of switched and was like, not just why me, but like, lucky me, you know, like, I'm blessed enough to get this amazing, amazing gift. And that's kind of also where I slowly started to see too, because there's still a lot of negativity about twins. When you tell people you're going to have twins, double trouble. Oh, good luck. You know, like, you're going to have your hands full. How are you going to do this? How are you still going to work? Blah, 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 blah. You know, like, on and on and on. It's so many questions. And there, a lot of them are negative questions. It was, and that can really start to like bog you down. Like, you're just like, oh God. Well, first of all, you know, I'm already thinking about all this stuff in my head, and for you to keep reminding me of it is not helpful. And I know people mean well, so I know it's not, you know, intentional, but I think that that's what I kind of try to spread around to other people, to be like, this is, it's not, it's not a good feeling for people to find all the negative stuff when you try to tell them that you're having twins.
Yeah.
Because it is a really difficult, you know, situation on anybody. And anybody I talk to is pretty freaked out when they find out about twins. But obviously, you know, we see the silver lining of it, I guess. And I've obviously wanted a girl. And to have these two identical twin girls, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, I wanted a girl so badly. And then I get two. And I have a sister that I was very close to and still am very close to. And, you know, we're like 5 years apart. But we have such a history of like just funny that we shared a room up until she graduated from high school.
Aww.
And so I knew that bond, and I was probably always the annoying one to her because obviously I was the younger sister, but like we would, you know, just talk all night, and, you know, we had such a nice close bond. And then all I could think about was like, how lucky are these two girls to have each other with this incredible bond that, you know, no one else will understand fully except for them. So
do you think that positivity, and by the way, the whole why me to lucky me is such an important shift that parents have to take in general. And with and talking like, you know, how I said you had a lot of poop thrown at your fan with that, it's keeping that mindset. I think honestly, truthfully, I don't think I'm not saying that this was probably the first time that I've heard this, but for some reason, it literally just hit me for the first time of that, what an important shift that it really is to go from the why me to lucky me, and how important that is to stay positive so that you could continue on to the next thing. Now, your pregnancy was, you know, a little tumultuous at the first, and then it got a little crazier. So you eventually found out that one of your twinnies was, did you find out that in utero?
Yeah. So then, so my husband and I were going to ultrasounds, I guess, every 2 weeks at that point after the 20-week scan. And then at 28 weeks, my husband could not come with me. He was busy with work. And so I was like, it's fine. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
They're like pretty routine at this point. Well, I guess the 28 week is kind of a big deal because they can see a lot more by that point. And that is when, you know, they're going through and checking sizes and, you know, checking fluid, and the ultrasound tech stops for a little bit. She's like, let me go get the doctor. And at that point I was like, this is, all right. Nope. Don't do this to me. So she comes in, she's like, look, we found something. I think I know what it is. I'm pretty sure of it. It's a condition called duodenal atresia, and it's a condition when a portion of the duodenum doesn't form. So it's essentially like a blockage that stops food or fluid from leaving the baby's stomach. So she further explained like, it can be an isolated condition, but then there's also some infants with Down syndrome. And she's like, about 1 in 3 babies born with this have Down syndrome. And, you know, like that obviously, you know, made me a little nervous. And I think with twins too, you already are starting to compare even in the womb, like, because we're comparing, you know, you go every week and they're comparing sizes and, and, you know, later on you find out that that's kind of what you do, unfortunately. So so then she was like, I want you to go to CHOP, to Children's Hospital of Philly, and have them further look into it. And I was like, well, can you, like, please, like, tell me a little bit more, like, what does this really mean? She's like, basically what happens is there's going to be an excess of fluid because baby B isn't going to get all the nutrients and everything properly. And she's like, you could end up getting really large, like your belly could get very large, very uncomfortable. Like, you might have to be put on bed rest early, et cetera. She's like, I'm giving you like the full info. She's like, but I want you to go to CHOP and have them tell you everything. And she, and I was like, well, how do they fix this?
Yeah.
You know, is it fixable? And she's like, yes. She's like, they would basically, she was like, they would do surgery very early on after she was born because she wouldn't be allowed to eat until she had the surgery. And, you know, right then and there, I was like, what? Surgery on a baby? No, this is not. I was like, this is not happening. Of course, it was very upsetting and called my husband and he just like, he didn't really know. I feel like he didn't really even know what to say. And he's a very positive person, but he was just like, okay, well, you know, we'll go and we'll figure this out. And, you know, that was like basically all we could do.
Yeah.
And sure enough, like I made that appointment for CHOP right away. And we were in within like a week or two. So.
Now, before, when we were first talking, you said like, it's so overwhelming because doctors will throw so much medical stuff at you and, you know, they have to, right? They have to, It's not only because they want to lay everything on the table for you. And I guess you could be the type of person that says, I don't want to know any of this. Don't tell me, tell my partner, I don't want to know. But regardless, they're always going to make sure that you know what's going on. When you hear all of that, how did you still kind of stay positive and move forward? And, you know, how did you not let everything bog you down, especially when they throw stuff out you like Down syndrome and now you know they're identical? I mean, that gets like stressful. Every little piece you had was stressful. And then you know that stress is going to affect the babies and that you have to stay positive. Were you doing anything different to try to alleviate some of that stress and to stay positive and to just be like, okay, we're going to listen with one ear and we're going to, you know, kind of go about our lives. How did you make that balance?
I mean, at this point, I still was doing some prenatal yoga. So that was huge for me to like continue on to do, you know, some nice meditations and just moving around and as much as I could. And honestly, I think some of it was that my son was keeping me busy. Like he was only two and when I was pregnant, and he was like such a good two that he was like, you know, I was always kissing my belly. And, you know, I think I really had to just kind of like put it in God's hands and be like, this is not something I can control.
Yeah.
All I can control is making sure that we literally get her the best possible care. And I knew like having CHOP so close, you know, it is only an hour away for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it didn't feel far away for me at that time. I was like, we have this. And I kind of just had to put it in their hands in that way. So
we're fortunate. I mean, we're very fortunate. There's, you know, there's many children's hospitals around the country, but I think CHOP is definitely one of the ones that helps a lot of our 20s out. Now, true, it doesn't hurt that I feel like everybody I know in the universe is in this, you know, 80-mile jurisdiction. But it's so interesting that, you know, the hospitals, too, it's my understanding that they really tried to help you alleviate a lot of that stress as well. Were they doing anything along the way to say, okay, you know, Meredith, gentle reminder, I know we have this appointment, but, you know, make sure that you're eating correctly and drinking your water. Did the doctors at the hospital do anything to try to help actually not only cause some of the stress, but alleviate it as well?
Yeah, honestly, I talk about this with a lot of people because of CHOP specifically. I mean, my doctor of maternal fetal medicine locally was amazing. And she was very gentle and, you know, I could always talk to her, but we did the first appointment we went to was around, I guess it was 30 weeks or so with CHOP. Mm-hmm. And it is such a long day of ultrasound. I mean, we did a 2-hour ultrasound, and they have amazing ultrasounds. So you can see like everything, which is so fun, you know? And so it was like, even though we were there for not the best terms, getting to see them on that ultrasound, like so clearly, and then moving around and like, you could see their faces so clearly because it's like 4D and
unbelievable.
And then we did an hour. So we did a 2 hour, you know, full ultrasound and then on both of them, and then an hour ultrasound on both their hearts too.
Okay.
Because that was a big deal, obviously, in this whole thing too. And then we sat like round table with a couple doctors, with the OB doctor there and like maybe one other doctor. And she went through the whole condition with us and how, you know, it's the same kind of deal, like the fluid could build up, et cetera. So we're going to really stay on top of finding out the measurements of that fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally met with the surgeon later in the day. And honestly, when I had the meeting with the OB, she was so gentle and so kind and like, so empathetic that I immediately was just like, this is going to be okay.
Yeah.
I was like, she's going to take care of us. She's going to take care of them. This is going to be okay. I fully trusted her because they are so sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they deal with such big, big, you know, issues, and these parents who are really, really emotional, and they really are such a calming effect on the whole situation.
Because you trust them. It's such a sensitive time and they're unbelievable. I think in general, people who deal with any type of, you know, perinatal or, you know, infant like surgery, it's just such a super specialty where sometimes like brain surgeons and spinal surgeons are like a little crazy, I think, but not pediatric brain and spinal surgeons. But in general, I find like the adults that we find, they're always like adrenaline junkies. But the people who work in peds in general are very gentle and they get it. And it's so wonderful. Now, one thing that you said to me, too, that really kind of hit a chord is that you said that all of this that was happening, you know, there's so much that's happening. It could actually drive a wedge in a lot of families and a lot of relationships if you let it. And you said that this whole everything that happened actually brought you and your husband even closer together.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that you allowed that to happen? Because honestly, like truthfully, Meredith, like a lot of times when people go through high stressful situations, they'll put up a wall and they'll block everybody out. And whether it's a defense mechanism or whether it's to protect the family member, you know, or for themselves. How did you decide, or was it a conscious decision that says, okay, I can't do this by myself. I'm going to need a partner. And look at that. There happens to be one right next to me. When did you start realizing that you had to rely more on, you know, other people than just keeping everything internal?
I mean, I think that's in life in general, just leaning on other people too and not taking on all the weight on yourself. And like, obviously these were our babies.
Yeah.
So he held that too. And I knew that he like, obviously it was upsetting to him, but he really didn't. I think he's just that type of person where he's very strong. And he is also like, he is literally like a rock. Like he's my rock. Like he is very positive. So he also is like, when I start to go, he knows me like, and we're like yin and yang. Like I start to go down this pathway of being like, what if she is not okay?
Yeah.
What if this doesn't work out? What if something happens in surgery? What if she loses our other daughter, loses her best friend for life? You know, like, what if we can't handle this? What if I can't, like, it, you start to go down this really dark path. Sorry.
What are you sorry about? You're literally, at least I'm trying my best to keep it together, but I feel you. I mean, I really empathize with what you were going through. And that's like, I can't understand how you stayed positive through that. I know that personally, and I don't think I'm unique. I know that I was a mess. And I didn't deal with anything nearly as much as you did. And I always, as I say, and you will hear it in a million podcasts, everybody's worst is their worst.
Yep.
And that there's no game of, well, you had it worse and I had it worse. It's everybody, whatever it is, whether it was that you had to deal with, you know, knowing that one of your teeny tiny little tots is going to have an issue and has to have immediate surgery, or if you didn't get the water birth that you wanted, right? Everybody could say, well, how could you possibly compare? We're not really comparing. It's just that person is experiencing stress and anxiety, whatever it is that was bringing it to them. There's no winning this. No. Everybody's worst is their worst. And for you to like say, okay, but you know, I want to tell people this and I want to come out and everything that I read was so negative and we're going to make a spin because now everything is positive. I started this conversation with saying that I'm so lucky that we have people that are like, please let me tell somebody how good this could be.
Yeah, because when I originally found out about her diagnosis, I Googled like a crazy person and I found some stories and none of them were, I guess, good enough for me to read. Like they were not, they were not helpful to me because it was just story after, it was like event after event and saying like, then they had this hiccup and then, you know, this happened and it was more negative than I could handle. And I was already in a negative place when I would go and Google this stuff.
Yeah.
So it was not helpful. And that's why I also like started my own personal blog that explained, hey, look, I went through a difficult time. But we saw the other side of it and we're on the other side of it. And, that's not to say like everything is going to be easy from here on. And that's what I also reminded myself too, is just because, you know, we had this hard thing in our lives. It doesn't warrant us to be like, we're never going to have anything else hard happen to us because it's not true. And that's just like what you say too, is like everybody's, you know, hard is, you know, still hard. And that's, you know, I would get that too. People would be like, oh, how did you do? Like, oh my gosh, this was so much. Like, how did you deal with this? And it's just like, I just did. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's also a personality thing too, is like, I'm very much like power on, like, got to keep going because I can't let these things control my life.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it did, you know, was a huge part of my life.
Yeah, of course.
But you do have to let the things that you cannot control totally just weigh you down.
Yeah.
So I did really focus on the positive ends of it. I, you know, just even silly things like I started to buy twin girl clothes, you know, and I only bought like three different things and I bought them matching. So like I have to match them, right? They're identical girls. This will be so much fun. I laid them out. I took a picture. I sent them to my sister. I was like, okay, this is good. Like, this gets me excited. I'm like, I know it's superficial, but I was like, this is so fun. You know, like, this is the fun part. I'm like, I'm going to get to dress these girls up. You know, it's going to be great.
So now that you've weathered the storm and you're here and it's still, I mean, they're three. And it's still brand new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're also, people could say they're three, what's going on? But we know here, they're going to be 30 and you're still going to feel it because that's just what happens. You know, it's just, it kind of makes this big imprint on you and we just have to figure out how to manage it. But with everything that's happened, when you look back and you're talking to other families that are going through things and you're saying, you know, the why me to lucky me and, you know, taking that time for yourself with, you know, yoga and some meditation and having, you know, trusting your team, because that's another big thing. You know, the thing that also that Meredith that people totally forget is that you're rarely in a situation where this is the only person, there's one person in the world that could help you. Very rarely. Yes, of course, you're going to have these needle in a haystack situations, but if you are, you know, going through something and you don't trust the people that are helping you get through this, then you should consider trying to find other people. And I think that's a very hard thing for people to do. You were very lucky out of the gate to just say, okay, I have this amazing support staff and everybody is going to make sure that my chicks are going to rock this and we're going to be great. And they have a plan. And they also know that, you know, historically, this isn't, thank God, knock on wood, you aren't the first ones that have walked in these shoes. So they're like, you know, Meredith, you're one of a bazillion people we've seen. So let's, you know, you're going to be okay. I know you're going to be okay. And but there's people who don't get that support and go to the doctor and get a diagnosis for the first time of something, whether it's, you know, in utero or themselves or whatever. And they just kind of accept it. And they go through this whole process with this kind of negative cloud above them of their medical team that may be dismissing them or not taking their whole self into consideration. And they're much more micro focused on a particular situation. It's so important that people do advocate for themselves and get the support that they need. And you had your husband, who, by the way, if you didn't have the help that you needed, I am positive that he would have spoken up for you. Like, I just have a hunch that he would have been like, absolutely not. These are my girlies. They're coming through. And his big papa bear would have kicked in. But it's hard sometimes to roll with it. And sometimes, honestly, you need other people to roll with it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't roll with it, because I know that that's kind of what we're talking about and staying positive and, you know, focusing on the positive, there's going to be times that that's impossible. That, like you just said, like, you're just like, what if, and what if, and what if, and those what ifs like creep in and they could start kind of putting the kibosh on the little positive thoughts that you had until they are having a full on rave in your head and have just taken over. It's really important to have support and to not internalize it and to let people know, like you told your husband, like the what ifs, and somebody was going to say, okay, so, you know, so what if, you know, so what if, this is what's going to happen? And what if the worst things are going to happen? How are we going to change that?
Mm-hmm.
And so you were telling me about that too, when we were talking initially about how everybody throws so much at you, and you and your husband had a real, like, solid discussion that was like, okay, let's focus on this. Do you still feel that you do that? And how do you get the what ifs out of your mind? Because still to this day, and I'm not saying, I feel bad saying things sometimes because I don't want to put like thoughts in your head, but like anytime there's an issue, you're going to be like, okay, what if this pops out again when she's 30?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what if this is going to prevent her from, you know, living her best life as a bungee jumper or whatever the heck it is? How do you now, with all the experience that you have been through, are you able to quiet those voices easier, or is it still just as hard?
Yeah, that's a good question. To be honest, I think with her especially, because, yeah, those tiny little voices will pop in every once in a while. I'm like, exactly what you said. What if when she's 30, something comes up from this? And honestly, I kind of just have to put it away. Like, I just, there's no point in me worrying about that. Mm-hmm. And I really, having twins is a blessing in so many ways, but what I found from being a twin mom was that just even twin pregnancy, what it mm-hmm. taught me, but also in that first year, because I feel like the first year is a big year for twin moms. It's mm-hmm. it's hard.
Yep.
It's hard. And then I learned so much about myself, and I also learned how I wanted to be, like, moving forward. And I think I was a bigger anxious person that also had to, like, I was very like control. Like, I had to have a clean kitchen all the time. I had to like make sure things were picked up at the end of the night all the time. I had to whatever, just a million list of things that I was still controlling. And the having twins put me in a different perspective. It was like, why do I have to do that? Why do I need to do that? If my sanity is better, like not doing that and waking up and doing it later, then I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And it really calmed me down in so many ways to be like, nope, I'm just not going to do that. Learning mm-hmm. to say no, learning to just chill out more, learning to just not let these things keep popping in my head that are just beyond my control and haven't happened and are you, there's no point in even worrying about. But I think that's anxiety in general, and anybody who suffers from anxiety, it's just like mm-hmm. these constant things that come and pop into your head, and it's tough to just, oh, I'm just going to put this away. I'm just going to move yeah. on. It's easier said than done. And it literally, I know this to be true. It's an exercise. It's anxieties like that. It's like an exercise. Just like we exercise our bodies, we need to exercise our minds. And it's good. For me, I almost feel like I got there faster by having twins. And I'm thankful for that. Like, I'm so thankful that that put me in this mindset of being like, I can't worry about this. And like, I do remind myself of what I've already been through to be like, I got through that. I can definitely do this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, I guess.
Girl, it's tough. It doesn't, it gets different. It doesn't get easier as time goes on. Correct. It just gets different because you yep. learn how to deal with you. And we're all so different that it is, I really wish that there was one book that I could be like, oh my gosh, Twiniversity listeners, get this book because it's going to answer all your prayers. There is no such thing. There's no such thing. Just like there is no one way to breastfeed your twins. There's mm-hmm. no one way to deal with anxiety. There's no one way to have a twin pregnancy. There's a multitude of, you know, different voices and, you know, there's so many different things. And I'm going to tell you, like, honestly, I have horrible anxiety. Like, I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if it's people like me, but a lot of people in, like, truthfully, like in the, not only in the regular universe, but like in the media world, like, mm-hmm. holy crap, this is ridiculous. And you get one bad review on iTunes and like, it will ruin my universe. Yeah. And I will be like, what is that? Whatever. I go crazy. It's yeah. so stressful. And with the kids, then you have that and on top of everything else. But I will tell you one thing that I, like you were talking about exercising, one thing that I do, I have it literally written on a post-it right there. I can't take it off, otherwise it loses its stickiness. But it says, what is your role in this? And so whenever I'm starting to spiral and it's about health or my family or myself or whatever, I always say, literally, what is your role in this? Do I have skin in this game? Is there something that I could do? And sometimes it could be the littlest things that make you spiral. And mm-hmm. it could be like, oh my gosh, I forgot to take the kids to the dentist. And then that leads into this whole big parenting, if you give a mouse a cookie situation, where you're 13 steps in and you're just off the rails. Yeah. If you could really tell yourself in the beginning, and I really wish that I would have started doing this when I was pregnant, but if I could really say, like, what is my role in this? For mm-hmm. every little thing that happens, you know, like if you have a bad ultrasound, what is your role in this? Your role would be to alleviate stress, to drink more water, to stay properly nourished. That is your role in it. Mm-hmm. Is your role really to start Googling at 2 o'clock in the morning and then learn how to perform the surgery that your daughter needs? Probably not. But do we do it? Yeah.
Of course.
We'll do it. I'm really trying. Like, we fight so much to make sure that our articles on Google win, so that if people are Googling at 2 a.m., I'd rather they find me, because I want to be like your doctor at CHOP. Like, mm-hmm. I want to be that, okay, I'm this, your little lighthouse here. Yeah. You know, I got you covered. So I'm going to tell you something, and this is what you need to know, and this is what you need to do, and here's what your actionable items are, and here's, you know, totally how to just roll with it. It's just so funny how we all are dealing with this. Like, mm-hmm. literally everybody is dealing with their own baggage, no matter what it is. And some of us come with a lot of infertility baggage that mm-hmm. bring into our twin pregnancy, that feel throughout the whole pregnancy, that if you sneeze too hard, you're going to lose both babies. Like, there's, like, legit people have, like, real anxiety. Mm-hmm. And there's so many, and people who don't understand would say, or people who think they're being helpful, like the people that were talking about, like you were saying, how twins are negative. People think that they're being helpful by saying, like, oh, that's not going to happen. Like, don't worry about that. But that's not helpful. Mm-hmm. That's totally not helpful. No. It's actually aggravating because it's like, are you even freaking listening to me?
Yeah.
Like, so, like, what? So, yeah, do you want to tell me more negative crap about my twins? Like, what else? How else could you ruin my day? Yeah. So you just always tell yourself, like, what's my role in this? And then you just keep moving forward.
Yep.
You know, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. I always think of that movie. Like, I think of it's Dory and she's just keep swimming. Or is it Nemo? It's Nemo.
Yeah.
Just keep swimming with his tiny little fin. Honestly, Meredith, truthfully, in that movie, the parents have a significant amount of anxiety over that he's not going to be a typical fish. Like, I'm like, dude, that's the story of our freaking life. What is Pixar doing to us? But Meredith, you keep rolling with it and you keep moving forward and you're doing so great. And I hope that you realize that, like, the proof is in the pudding, right? That you have your two little girls that are probably driving you nuts. You have your dude that I always imagine this age is wonderful. Like, enjoy every second of it. Once we hit 11, then it just turns into a different version of a child. It's not worse. It's just different. But it's so much fun. And I'm happy that everything turned out beautifully and that you are able to talk to me. And I'm sorry that it still hurts you. And I don't know if it hurts or you just think about how much it hurt.
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't hurt me now. And that's why I think I can talk about it in a way that's like, I do want to share that, like, look at this story. You know, yes, it was hard, but we got through it. And now I have, you know, these two amazing little girls that are perfect. And, you know, every, you know, parent's eyes, or in your own parents' eyes, in the own parents' eyes. But that was my biggest thing. And I just, now it's not so much like hurt right now. It is crazy to look back and be like, you know, I think also we do this when we're in stressful situations, it's a fight or flight and you fight, you know, and you just continue to go because you have to, you don't have another choice. You know, so when people do ask me, how did I do it? I did it and we're here and we made it. And, you know, that's what I kind of want to explain, because it's like when I was in it, when I originally found out, I was like, how am I going to do this? Yeah. But you do, you know?
Yeah. You do. Yeah. You have no choice. And we are, you know, just a few people that have crazy things that happen and, you know, you get through it. And if you could always remember to, you know, what is your role in this and that, you know, you're going to get it tomorrow and what is that going to look like and how are we going to make this better? But it's, I do know, I always say the but, because it's horrible, because I do know it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. And so for those of you out there that are listening now, that are in some weeds, whatever they are, and you turned, you know, we're in your ears right now, Meredith and I, and you're just like, I'm in it. Just like, remember, I don't know if it makes you feel better or worse, but like, we're literally right here with you. Mm-hmm. And we are, you know, next to you in spirit. And the path that is in front of you has been walked by so many of us before. And the grass is a little flatter to make it easier for you. And, you know, hopefully the road is a little smoother. And by you just listening to us today and saying, okay, she did it, I could do it too. Yeah. That's really
knowing you're not alone is huge. When you're in these moments, these hard moments, knowing you're not alone, I think is helpful. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's very helpful. And don't forget too, like, if you're out there in the universe and you're listening and you're like, I don't have somebody and I don't have people to connect to. I will say this all the time. I really should start saying this every episode. Every first Monday of the month, we have a Twiniversity online meetup. I don't care if you're in Azerbaijan or if you are in Albuquerque, it does not matter. because we are all, we're literally in the weeds together. Everybody's in some sort of weeds. I have never, maybe I'm just not lucky, but I have never in my whole life spoken to somebody that really had it all together, like legit. I may have, you may meet people like at a webinar that's like, I'm going to tell you how to make your life better. It's BS. It's BS because I promise you, if you, you know, open their glove box, there's some skeleton hiding in there. There's always something. There's nobody out there that is the perfect parent, that is the perfect person, that is the perfect, you know, employee, that is the perfect partner. We all have our things. And what really should be our thing is that we're just so amazing because we could just keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. Like you, Meredith, you just keep moving forward. And you're like, you know what? That was yesterday. I have to deal with today that's in front of me. And one of the blessings of, weirdly, this is going to sound crazy, of having babies after going through trauma like that is that you don't really get a chance to think about it because there's still babies to feed. There's still diapers to change. There's still 3 a.m. crying. So where you kind of went through this little war, you come out on the other side and you don't get a chance to breathe. And so sometimes 3 years later, little pockets will pop up and you'll be like, oops, it's still there. Like, look at that. And that's just going to happen because it's, you know, we have to be parents and we have to fight. We can't flight. But I'm so appreciative that like everybody, for you, Meredith, especially, like you've really been through a lot. And I've literally made a note to call CHOP after this, because I can't even tell you how many families we have that they help, from people who fly in from other parts of the country. Yeah. So it's not, I mean, we're lucky because we could drive, you know, so we're in a good situation, but we do know if you guys are out there and you need anything, there's a way that we could help you. Just know that Twinversity is genuinely here to listen. If that's what you need, we're happy to do that. So Mary, thank you so much for playing with me today. I kept you way longer than I should. I told you it wasn't going to happen, but I knew that you have a lot to tell, and just hearing somebody who's been there, done that. And you're like, okay, you're going to be okay. Sometimes that's all somebody needs to hear that day to really know that they're going to be okay. So thank you.
When you get to the end of the crazy road, the payoff is so rewarding. And I mean, I think the biggest thing too, I remember, it's funny you were saying like, about, you know, I kind of forget where I was losing my train of thought, but basically when we were able to bring her home, my biggest excitement was honestly just being able to sit on my couch with my girls and just hold them and nurse them and just like do our thing like that. That was like my end goal. That's all I wanted. So like when that time came, it was just such a relief, and I couldn't really, there was no time, obviously, like you were saying, there was no time to process what I had gone through, which was almost good in some ways. And you're releasing all these endorphins and everything from the hormones and from breastfeeding, that I was so in my like, yes, it was crazy. Yes. But I was so in this zone where I was like, I got this. I can do this, and I'm going to do it. And like, I'm so happy that I'm here, right here, just in this moment on my sofa in my pajamas and not in a hospital room anymore, you know?
So. Yeah, it is. That's your reward. It may not be an actual trophy, but you got them. They live in your house, your little rewards for everything. Oh, Meredith, you're the best. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. And guys, if you were out there and you're like, I need more, I want to know more, just know that you can always go to twinversity.com. I don't really know any topic that we don't cover over there. We're probably not going to tell you what's the best kid shampoo. I don't foresee us ever writing that. That's one thing. Don't look for it there. But things like, you know, dealing with stress and dealing with pregnancy stress and, you know, postpartum surgeries and stuff. We have quite a bit of stuff on Twinversity. And if you need something from us that's not there, you could email us at community@twinversity.com, or you could drop us a line literally on every social platform. We're just at Twinversity on everything. And if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget that I would love if you reviewed it so that I could take away that negative anxiety of that one horrible review. Please go read that review too when you're done. Then while you're at it, go to Goodreads and read that one-star review of my book from the person who called me Mrs. Cannibal, because I talked about how some people encapsulate their placenta. So yeah, you never really know what's out there, but feel free. If you enjoyed this, like, share it, all that good stuff. And just know that, you know, we are always here for you now and always. And it is an honor to be a part of this community and make sure that we stay strong together. So until later, guys, have the best day ever. See you later, alligators.